From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business. Parasite made history as the first foreign language movie to win Best Picture at the Oscars. That's quite the achievement. But director Bong Joon-ho still hasn't forgotten the harsh words his six-year-old son said during a set visit years ago.
He watched me work and then just quietly came to me and whispered into my ear,
"Daddy, you look so stupid." Why, son? And then you keep repeating same thing again, again, and again. You look very stupid.
Fortunately, Bong Joon-ho bounced back from that scathing appraisal. In addition to Best Picture, he also took home Oscars for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. Since Parasite is now streaming on Hulu, we thought it'd be the perfect time to revisit our conversation with director Bong, who tells us about clashing with Harvey Weinstein over cuts to his 2013 film Snowpiercer, and explains why he made Okja for Netflix, even though he prefers watching film in theaters. But first on the news banter, some states are reopening movie theaters, or are they? Stick around, it's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my colleague and banter, Matt Bellany, formerly of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So we have a situation now of complete uncertainty. That's been going on for a while and apparently will go on for a while. But certain governors of certain states think that it is time to go back to business. Georgia is one of them. They're saying they're going to reopen theaters. And you know, if you need a tattoo, you could go get one right now. It sounds like an excellent idea. Maybe RIP would be the tattoo, but you could have it.
Finally, I can go to Georgia to get my tattoo.
Yes, you can do that. And one of the things they want to open is theaters. Now, there are many problems with this. One, do people want to go to theaters right now or in the coming weeks? Two, what exactly are the theaters showing since major movies have been pushed across the board by the studios? They cannot put those movies on demand and hope to make their money back. And, you know, third of all, the National Association of Theater Owners has said, you know what, we don't think this is a good idea. So seems a little premature, but they're forging ahead.
Yeah, and I don't think this is going to be material until bigger states say that they have opened their theaters or given the green light for theaters. The National Association of Theater Owners statement essentially said that they are going to wait for the studios, and the studios are waiting until there's a meaningful number of theaters that can open for these movies to justify themselves from a financial perspective. The whole reason these movies were pushed is because they need a certain number of people to show up in order for them to get those opening weekends that justify the expense of the film. And if you open in a few southern states, there's not going to be enough for that to count. I mean, you could see some of these theaters showing older movies or retrospectives or things that might draw a few people on a Saturday night. But I just don't think this is a meaningful move by these governors.
Yeah, I noticed Armando Iannucci tweeting yesterday about Death of Stalin, which is one of the older movies they could play. And he said, don't show my movie. I don't want people coming to theaters and watching my movie right now. It's not safe. You're crazy.
Well, that's the other thing, is that talent is not going to promote these movies because it's considered irresponsible to do so. So these movies will just, drop in theaters. Nobody will know about them. There'll be no marketing campaign, no press behind them, and people will just show up. I mean, there's an entire apparatus around film distribution in theaters that has gone away. And so you can't just open the doors of the theaters and pop some popcorn and expect there to be a line out front.
Yeah. I mean, this is how many people are fitting in the theaters? Are you cleaning the theater between every showing, and how many showings therefore can you have? There's too much complete nonsense going on right now, I think, is the short summary. But this is a huge, huge problem for the industry. I mean, the one movie right now that's a big movie that's still on the calendar is Christopher Nolan's Tenet. And Christopher Nolan, as we well know, is a man who is passionately committed to showing his movie in theaters. And he, as we understand it, I don't think there's been any public statement, but he wants Warner Brothers to hold that movie on its date in July, thinking that by then there will be a world in which we can have people go to the movies, and that this is the movie that will be an inspiration to moviegoers and cinema lovers to go and see his latest work.
Yeah, there's a reason that that is the only movie that has not moved. And everything I have heard from inside Warner Brothers is that Nolan is saying that he would gladly be the first person out. He's not afraid. He wants this movie to be a galvanizing point for people to return to the theaters and celebrate the theatrical experience if it's deemed safe. He doesn't want to take any chances, obviously, but he would like to be the one that reopens theaters. And it seems like the entire film industry is lining up behind him, because you saw Disney move Mulan to the weekend after Chris Nolan's movie is supposed to come out in July. And then there's Wonder Woman in August. There's a couple other big movies that have moved to August. So if Nolan's movie is able to open, that would be the turning point, barring some kind of a resurgence of the virus. But at this point, it's a huge, huge question mark. And Warner Media, on the earnings call this past week, kind of stepped into it a little bit in acknowledging some of that uncertainty.
Well, John Stankey, who had been running Warner Media, be basically heir to the current chief of AT&T, Randall Stephenson, he, in his very typical wonky way, started talking about the model and theatrical and whether it's really a thing that kind of works. And many people read this to be that Warner's kind of backing away from theatrical releases in some cases. Some people actually said to me, oh, they're just, I mean, maybe being a little cavalier, they're just going to do movies for HBO Max or whatever. Of course, after that happened, you've got a talent like Christopher Nolan, one of the Final Cut directors, who is a 900-pound gorilla. They had to turn around John Stankey and Ann Sarnoff, who is the CEO of the Warner Brothers studio, had to walk this back and say, hey, you know, we love this movie thing. And we're not turning our back on it. It was really kind of a little bit of a clunky problem that they created for themselves.
Yeah, it was a case of an executive saying what he actually is thinking, and then the apparatus around him saying, oh, we actually can't say that publicly. So they had to put out a late night statement saying that, oh, we believe in the theatrical experience. But if you look at their actions, you know, they just put this Scooby-Doo movie called Scoob, which was supposed to come out on May 15th. That is now going to debut only on video on demand and for sale. And then it will go directly to HBO Max at some point. And that is a perfect example of a movie that was deemed sacrificable, shall we say. It was not pushed to a later date. It was like the Trolls movie that Universal put on VOD earlier this month. So, you know, this evolution that we all know is happening in the movie business, where all but only the biggest titles and the awards type movies are going to be made for digital platforms rather than theatrical. This crisis is really just exacerbating that and allowing studios to make these decisions in a way that benefits their model at the expense of the theatrical model, because there is no theatrical model right now.
Yes, that's exactly right. And what we are dealing with broadly is a complete set of unknowns right now. When can movies go back into production? How will that possibly work? Randall Stephenson, who's the chief executive of AT&T, the parent of HBO Max and Warner Brothers and Warner Media, he said in this earnings call that they can't offer any financial guidance, that the economic effects, I'm quoting, of the pandemic and the resulting societal changes are currently not predictable, he said. And that is very true. We're seeing Disney facing incredible challenges. Some people are predicting that the theme parks can't open for months and months. So, you know, yes, we're in the great unknown and it's really hard, but that's the way it is right now. And a lot of plans are being made with the hope that somehow or another, the entertainment industry can get itself back on track. So we'll reconvene and talk about that next week. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, former editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. A most delicious moment at this year's Oscars came right at the end of the show when Jane Fonda announced Best Picture and paused just for a beat to offer the tiniest knowing smile before announcing the victor.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
That history-making night, which saw Parasite winning 4 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Foreign Language Film, capped off a monumental awards season for the South Korean drama, Earlier in the year, director Bong Joon-ho won in the foreign language category at the Golden Globes, and he gave a memorable acceptance speech with the help of his interpreter.
Once you overcome the one-inch tall barrier of subtitles, you will be introduced to so many more amazing films.
With many people stuck at home, it's as good a time as ever to check out some non-English language films. And now Parasite can be one of them. The movie recently started streaming on Hulu. As you may remember, Parasite tells the tale of two families, the wealthy Parks and the poor but enterprising Kims. When the Kims' college-aged son lands a promising job as a tutor for the Parks, he soon figures out a way to con the Parks into giving jobs to other members of his family without actually disclosing that they're related to him. The movie contrasts the cramped underground basement where the Kims live with the fabulous ultra-modern home of the Park family, though that seemingly immaculate and airy house holds some dark secrets. When director Bong joined us in the studio in January with his interpreter, Sharon Choi, I asked him about his face-off with Harvey Weinstein, who wanted to carve up Bong's 2013 film, Snowpiercer.
Yeah, actually, they cut 25 minutes. So okay. There was his version.
And with his version, they held a test screening at Paramus, New Jersey.
And it played badly, and you were happy.
And thankfully, with Snowpiercer, it was in the contract that I could hold another test screening with my director's cut. So we screened my director's cut at Pasadena, and the score was much higher.
Right, but Harvey still didn't really relent. And there was a story particularly that I loved that I read where he wanted to cut a scene where one of the guards guts a fish to terrify the passengers, I think. And so you had a very particular way. Tell me how that was a great story.
So usually I don't really lie, but instinctively to protect the shot, I had to come up with a lie. The DP and I really loved that scene with the big fish. So I told him that there's a personal story behind it, that my father was a fisherman, and that's why you have to keep it.
Actually, my father was the professor.
He was a graphics designer.
Yeah, graphic designer.
My father was too. That
really?
In common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
so he's, you know, my father suddenly became a fisherman. And when Harvey Weinstein heard that, he was like, yes, family is so important. You should have told me before, and told the editor to not touch that shot.
Well done. Good lie.
So everything with the Weinstein company, you know, it's all in the past. I've forgotten a lot of it.
Blocked it out.
At this point, it all feels like a distant memory. But at the time, my producer gave me the book Down and Dirty Pictures,
right,
which deals
Peter
with
Biskin's
the...
Biskin's book.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
deals with the history of American indie cinema. And, you know, it mentions that Harvey Weinstein's nickname is, you know, Scissorhands. And it talked a lot about the conflicts he had with directors regarding the final edits. So I was already prepared.
I mean, this was a breakthrough film for you here. You know, Harvey was, it's 2013, he was not as powerful as he had been, but still standing up to him, that was, I mean, did you just feel like, I don't care, this is my picture and I'm going to stand up to this guy?
So of course, you know, Harvey Weinstein was a powerful figure in the American film industry, and he's distributed a lot of films. But for me, my films have always been a director's cut. I couldn't even imagine how it couldn't be a director's cut. So I had to use all these ways to make sure that I endure that process. So at the time, the investment company CJ and the actors Tilda Swinton and John Hurt were very supportive of me. And so the way that the situation played out, the film ended up going over to Radius TWC.
Right. Which they didn't release it because of the conflict. I guess they thought they were punishing you, but this didn't really punish
you. But for me, it was triumph for me.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a win.
For them,
yes.
It was punishment.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so Tom Quinn from Radius TWC ended up, you know, founding Neon, which is the distributor of Parasite. So the relationship continued on.
Ah, the circle continued. Mm-hmm. I also read that one of the reasons you went to Netflix with Okja was because they gave you so much control, total control.
Yeah. So from the beginning, they gave me the 100% of creative control, including...
The rating.
Yeah.
The R rating.
Yeah. It means I can shoot everything inside the slaughterhouse
right,
kind of
right.
things. And also they gave me the director's final cut. which is so great. And, 뭐,
and throughout the entire process, they were very supportive and they gave me a lot of freedom. Other studios were very concerned about the slaughterhouse sequences and told me that they prefer if we don't shoot it. But Netflix was the only studio that was very supportive for the entire thing.
And also, you know, some indie studios, they love the script and they don't care the slaughterhouses. But for them, the budget was too big.
The budget was too big,
because
right.
of visual effect, it was over 50, 55 million.
So their budget limit was 30 to 35 million.
Right, and Netflix went much higher. Yeah. As they just did with The Irishman, a movie that nobody else was going to make number. I mean, having done it, you know, we're always talking to directors. This theatrical experience, many want it. Some say, I would rather have more people just have the opportunity to see my film. Having done it both ways, what do you think?
So when we were shooting Okja, the cinematographer Darius Kanji and I, we always shot for the big screen. We always tried to create cinematic images, and we hoped that it would be screened on a big theater as much as possible. But at the time, Netflix was pretty strict with their policy, so it wasn't easy. Their policy was, if it's on the screen, even just one screen, they need to start streaming the film. But these days, with Marriage Story, Irishman, and The Two Popes, they're guaranteeing like a month theatrical window for those films, and it's great to see them being more flexible. And with The Irishman, I actually watched it in a theater in Korea.
Yes, but no, you know what I mean? They're doing some, but they can't do that much because the theaters won't have them. So you get something. I wonder with an auteur filmmaker, some people hate that word, auteur filmmaker, but I think it means something. People know what it means. I wonder whether they, you know, they look at the experience that Scorsese had and say, well, that's not a full theatrical release, but it's enough for me. Or do they say, wow, even Marty Scorsese couldn't get the full thing. Maybe I just will not go to Netflix.
So even Scorsese was worried that people would watch The Irishman on their phones, and I totally understand what he was feeling. Of course, Netflix is becoming relatively better compared to when they did Okja, but I hope that they're able to be more flexible with the theater chains and cooperate to ensure that the film plays longer on more screens.
Yes.
I'm a huge DVD and Blu-ray collector, and yeah, one third of my Blu-ray and DVDs is Criterion collections. But now they also start the streaming service, the Criterion channel.
So all the Blu-rays I have are now available on the streaming service. And I think streaming itself, we can't go back to the day when there weren't any streaming services. It's inevitable since even Criterion is offering that service. But I really do hope that we still have a thriving Blu-ray industry and also the theaters and all the different elements of this film industry, that everyone can cooperate so that we can all coexist.
It feels now like we're a bit stuck, but maybe.
But definitely the theater is the best.
Yes, that's
for
the
me,
preference.
만드는 사람 입장에서 더더.
As a filmmaker, it's the best because it's the only place the audience can't press the stop button.
I have to admit, I may have paused during The Irishman. Coming up after a short break, Parasite director Bong Joon-ho tells us about a mystery from the film that he intends to solve in HBO's upcoming Parasite TV series. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Bong Joon-ho, director of Parasite, which, if you can remember back to February, became the first Korean film ever to be nominated for Oscar and then went on to win Best Picture, a first for any film in a foreign language. Bong Joon-ho also won Oscars for Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Foreign Language Film. Now, Parasite is available to stream on Hulu. Parasite first premiered at Cannes in 2019. It had a big year after taking shape in director Bong's mind for a long time.
제가 그 영화를 준비하는 과정들이 되게
이렇게 오버랩돼서 많이 있어요. So all my projects tend to overlap with Parasite. I first came up with the idea in 2013 during the post-production of Snowpiercer. And I signed the contract with the production company to work on this project in 2015 during Okja. So Parasite was never a reaction to my experience with Okja or Snowpiercer. I just followed the story and that's how my projects lined up.
And the financer is CJ, the Korean company, who already worked with me in The Mother and the Snowpiercer and Memories of Murder.
And CJ is always, you know, fully supportive of my works. And because Parasite is not a big budget project, much less compared to Okja, the entire financing process and figuring out the budget was very peaceful and smooth.
We like that when it's peaceful and smooth.
Peaceful.
I was amazed about the number of visual effects shots, 480 visual effects shots. And you said that we can never feel that in the movie. It's invisible. Yeah. They're invisible.
Very invisible VFX. It's all because of the set. Good.
So because, you know, we built all the sets and even with the rich house, the second floor exterior that was added through visual effects and the bunker and the second floor were all built on separate sound stages and the alleyway would be a location and the door and the walls would be a set that we built. So we used a lot of visual effects to combine all those separate locations. So it wasn't as complicated as, you know, creatures and like Okja. It was much simpler, but there were many shots.
There was a three puppies in the movie. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Two of them was visually packed puppy.
They're not real puppies.
Kidding. Sorry.
Joking. Okay. They were puppies. They were actual puppies. I was going to say.
재미없는, 재미없는 농담 미안하다고 했죠.
I was like, after Lion King, who knows?
Sorry for the boring joke.
It's okay. I will take all the jokes, boring or otherwise. You actually were a tutor for a really rich family.
Yeah, when I was in university.
And somewhat fraudulently, if I remember the story correctly, because you were a math tutor and you were bad at math.
Yeah, and I fired.
You got fired? Oh, I didn't know that part.
After 2 months.
Oh, boy. So that worked out a little differently. So the Korean film industry is the fourth in the world.
Yeah.
Although in population, Korea is 28th in the world.
It's a small peninsula, small country, but very
passionate.
Very, yeah. 인구 밀도가 높죠.
The population density is very high.
그 영화를 되게 좋아해요.
And people and love films.
그리고
love
멀티플렉스 체인이 되게 가장 그
And the multiplex chains, they are very deeply into the even the residential areas. We never have to drive that far to go to a theater. They're always nearby.
So when last summer when Parasite released in South Korea, the number of screen was almost 2,000.
It's like an American...
Yeah, it's quite a wide release.
It's a very wide release. Yeah. Did you think, well, this is going to be a huge hit?
아니, 처음 시나리오 썼을
때는... So when I first wrote the script, my wife and I were very happy with it, but we knew that this was a strange film. And so when I took the script to the financiers, I was like, I know that this is strange, so I understand if you say no, but just let me know as soon as possible whether or not you're going to greenlight this because I need to go to other people. But they were very willing and took it on, but... I always just thought that it would be great to just break even with this film because I knew how strange it was. I had no other goals. My only goal was to just finish it safely. My job as a filmmaker essentially ended at March when I finished editing the film. The film hasn't changed at all, but so many things have happened afterwards. I'm trying my best to just enjoy the entire process.
I feel like you're on Snowpiercer train going around the awards season rounds.
근데 그 오스카 레이스?
I had no idea that this Oscar race and the awards campaign would be this long and intense because it's my first time going through it.
From Telluride. It's Telluride 한 2년 전 같아, 지금 막.
You're right. It starts in late August, I guess.
Yeah.
It feels like it happened 2 years ago.
I was wondering, can you possibly be interviewed to death? Is that possible?
지금은 막 오히려 그 캠페인이나
Right now, I feel very comfortable and great because we're doing an interview about interviews. It's very meta, talking about being interviewed for Telluride.
Yes, it is. So your directing style, you don't film coverage. You don't film from many angles and try to put it together. You have it in your mind and you shoot it exactly that way. It's not that common, I don't think. And it must probably save time and money, I would think.
그게 왜 그렇게 됐는지 모르겠어요. 내가 뭐 무슨 대단한 결정을
So I don't exactly know why it wasn't as if I made this big decision to work like that. I think it comes from when I was working on short films, I had to get the money myself. And at the time, film was very expensive. And I think the habit came out of just having to find the money myself.
When I was on set of Snowpiercer, Mr. John Hurt, I miss him so much. He told me, Bong, your style is Hitchcockian and you really strongly follow your own storyboard. And I love it, John Hurt, he said. And 그 말 들었을 때 되게 기뻤었어요.
I was very happy to hear that.
Yes, I would think that for the actors, not doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
Because if you're ever on a film set, you're like, again, you're like, please. I'm not a director, so sometimes I've been on film sets thinking, that looked fine to me. Why are we doing that again?
And in the editing room, we use take one or take two.
Right.
When my son, now he's 24 years old, but when he was six, when he was on set, on my set, he watching... 나 일하는 걸 이렇게 보다가 싹
You know, he watched me work and then just quietly came to me and whispered into my ear.
Daddy, you look so stupid. And then, why, son? And then, you keep repeating same thing again, again, and again. You look very stupid. And I said, no, everything is very delicately different. And he said, no, it's all same. You fool, stupid. And then he ran away.
I should think he would run away. Talking like that to his daddy. But I feel for him. I do. I understand. I'm like the six-year-old saying, it's again. Why? So you were doing a Parasite. Well, Adam McKay is doing a series,
which
seems sort of odd. Like, we just saw it. I'm sure people will be very interested in it. But how did that come to be?
So I already had this idea from when I first started writing the script. Because aside from the 120 pages of the script that you see in the completed film, there were so many hidden stories that I wasn't able to convey. For example, you know, when the original housekeeper comes back, her eyes are swollen, and the film never explains why, but you know that something happened to her. So I wanted to expand this story into a six-hour movie or a limited series and not be limited by the two-hour running time of films. So it's not a prequel or a sequel and definitely not a remake. I want to develop the story into a new format so that people who have watched this film can still be surprised.
그리고 아담 맥케이의 이제 그 빅쇼트나 바이스에 나오는 되게 직접적인
And with Adam McKay, I really enjoyed his very direct and aggressive humor in Big Short and Vice. And so I thought with this story, he could really deal with the economic crisis and, you know, the working class issues that are going on in the States
right man for the
with
job.
Humor.
Mm-hmm. You do these storyboarding for your films. I read and I saw a picture of it one. You put it together like a book. I mean, these are very specific with the dialogue and the... Do you ever plan... I don't know if anybody's published any of that or wants to.
So it was already published in Korea and Taiwan. In France, it's going to come out with the Blu-ray. And for the US, we already, you know, have the contract. It's going to be published into a separate book. I'm very happy, but also embarrassed. My drawings aren't as beautiful as those by Fellini or Kurosawa. They just look like children's comics.
대신 영화랑 비교해 보는 재미는 있을
But it will be fun to compare the sketches with the film because it's very similar to the actual shots.
Bong Joon-ho is the director of the six-time Oscar-nominated film Parasite. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And thank you to Sharon Choi, his translator. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
And that's the business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program, and Paul Smith mixed the show. Special thanks this week to Mario Diaz for helping us out from the studio. You can stream the business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on the business.